Good evening. Tonight's lesson will be taken out of Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. Today I was working in the greenhouse and it was a beautiful day, and one of the customers came up and said that this place is like heaven to her. And at first I thought it was somewhat comical, and then we got to talking about it as a family, and this was kind of sad that they thought our place was like heaven. I mean, there's a lot more as a Christian to look forward to than just a couple of blooming flowers around a greenhouse. So I just thought it made me think today that some people's, what they view heaven as, is totally different than what it will be. So we're going to read out Ephesians 5, 1 to 21. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and that hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not covenant, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetousness man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest his light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. With these words on our heart, let's kneel for prayer.
Indeed, it was a beautiful day that I thoroughly enjoyed. We were privileged to be able to spend some more time with the Andy Newcomer family today. He had a beef that he was planning to cut, and he was hoping maybe I could teach him some tricks of skills that I learned when cutting beef. We had a good time this morning in his little butcher shop. I was able to spend some time with my parents this afternoon and with my mother-in-law later this afternoon and over the supper table. Do really feel blessed. The message tonight, a renewed mind. But before we get into the message, we're going to stand. We invite you to take your copy of the theme song in your book rack, and we'll sing one. The word mind is the word that we use quite often. There may be someone that's slightly irritating you, and you might turn to them and you might say, "Do you mind?" When someone gets older, we talk about that person. We might be talking to someone that's closely connected to them, and we might say, "Are they still in the right mind?" We talk about people that are extremely intelligent, and we say, "Boy, they have a sharp mind. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a renewed mind in a spiritual sense. How important is your mind? God blessed each of you with an intelligent mind. Are you using that mind for His honor and glory? Sometimes people lose their mind. And when they do, they might go to a psychiatric ward, might be institutionalized for a little while. Things changed from what they were 30, 40, 50 years ago when they had mental hospitals where those that seemingly lost their mind were locked up and kept there for years on end. Now, during a visit to one of these mental hospitals, a visitor came in the hospital and he looked at the director and he said, you know, what's the criteria for a person to have to be institutionalized in a mental facility such as this? And the director looked at the visitor and he said, well, what we do, we give them the bathtub test. Well, what's the bathtub test? He said, what we do, we fill the bathtub with water and we give the person that we're trying to consider their mental capacity, or give them three objects. We give them a bucket, we give them a quart container, and we give them a teaspoon. And we tell them to empty the bathtub. And the visitor started to think, and he said, well, yeah, he said, most people that are intelligent would use a bucket. And the director said, no, he said, most intelligent people would pull the plug and let the water out of the tub. He said, would you like a Windabed or an aisle bed? You know, that's a humorous story, but it illustrates how important our mind is and the reason that we should value our mind. Our mind is the center of our thoughts, our will, and our emotion. How is your mind this evening? I invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 2, and I think a little bit of verse 1 as well. We studied from Romans chapter 8 on Wednesday evening, being referred to as possibly the greatest chapter in the Bible. And I think these two verses here in Romans chapter 12 would potentially be the two greatest verses in the Bible, at least when it comes to verses that apply to the life of a believer. Verse 2 talks about be not conformed to the world. And it talks about transformed by the renewing of your mind. And maybe we'll just back up here a little bit in our thought pattern. We have some youth here tonight. And it seems like with youth, you want to know what God's will is for your life. Correct? You want to know what God wants you to do. And I think sometimes we can spend a lot of maybe even wasted time trying to figure out what God's will is for our life, when maybe we should be doing what God commands us to do. And once we're in communion with Him, then He will show us what His will is for our life. So tonight we're going to be briefly looking at three different aspects of how a person, specifically a young person, would go about finding God's will for their life. We're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 12. And the overwhelming theme there in verse 1 is sacrifice. Sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? It talks about the need for we as believers to be a sacrifice. When I think about sacrifice, another somewhat humorous story comes to mind. There was a pig and there was a chicken. And they were discussing a charity dinner that was to be given at a nearby church. And they were trying to decide what they were going to contribute. And the chicken said to the pig, she said, I have a good idea. She said, I will donate the eggs and you can donate the ham. And the pig said, well, that's all well and good for you. For you, it's just a contribution. For me, it's a total sacrifice. What are you willing to do for God? Is it just a contribution, or is it a total sacrifice? This first verse here of chapter 12 says to present your bodies. Your bodies. It's what people see. It's what you have to offer. To present your bodies a total sacrifice. And you know, sometimes we think about those that have given their life for the cause of the gospel. And that is a total sacrifice. But you know, for believers who have to continually sacrifice, for that total sacrifice, it's once and done. But for those of us that remain here, a sacrifice is ongoing. A living sacrifice is something we have to continually do. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices offered. And for those sacrifices, there was pain and suffering that was involved. And for a true sacrifice for a believer, there can be pain and suffering involved. Present your bodies holy, acceptable. You know, Cain offered a sacrifice. His sacrifice was not accepted. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. We can do things, we can do good things, but for the wrong reasons. If our goal is to please our Father in heaven, we will do things that please Him. Our sacrifice will be accepted. So when it comes to discerning God's will for your life, are you willing to be a living sacrifice for Him? Are you willing to make sacrifices in your life? The next thing we want to consider is in verse 2 of chapter 12. It says, and be not conformed to this world. What does it mean to be conformed? If you have clay, if you have silly putty, you take your fingers and you form it into some kind of shape. And once it is then in that shape, yeah, you can change it. But once it's in a certain shape, it can be a little difficult to change. If we are conformed to this world, are we willing to change? And if we are conformed to this world, do we realize how conformed we really are? When we think about, at least when I think about nonconformity, I often think about nonconformity in dress. And I'm not here tonight to say that nonconformity in dress is not important. But just as important, I think more important, is nonconformity in our personal life. Nonconformity that's more than skin deep. Nonconformity that affects our speech and our attitude. Nonconformity to this world. What is this world? Is it the people that we associate with? The world is the earth that we live in, but not the beautiful earth that God created. It's the sin that's prevalent around us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. To be nonconformed to this world, does that mean that we don't associate with non-believers? Is it wrong to have friendships with those that are not Christians? Not always, but it can be. If you're hanging out with non-Christian friends and you start to go along with the things that they do, you start to pick up some of the words that they say, maybe they're not profaning God's name, but they're words that should not come out of a Christian's mouth. Speech. You know, our speech portrays what we really are. If you listen to someone for a period of time, you can soon discern if they are serving the world or serving God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of thereof in the day of judgment." And in James chapter 1, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." There was a time in my life when I was young where I thought it was maybe cool to be a little more outspoken, a little more loud and obnoxious. My dad was always more of a quiet, reserved person, and I thought I wanted to be more of a loud, outspoken person. But over the years, I realized the value of maybe being a little more reserved, not speaking out of context, not speaking and later wishing I would have kept my mouth shut. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our speech can show who we are serving. What about our attitude? Is our attitude on things of this world? Are we worried only on the things that we accumulate, the money that we can make, the latest technological devices that we can have? And of course, with nonconformity, we have the area of dress. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, "In like manner also that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." One woman quoted, "I used to dress so that I could knock the daylights out of men, but now I dress so that Jesus can be my escort." And those of us that are men know that a way a woman dresses can catch a man's eye. But young ladies, that's not the kind of eye that you want to catch with the way that you dress. You want a young man to see something in you that's from the inside out. To see a godly woman, a woman that's more concerned about what's inside than what's on the outside. I heard someone make the comment one time, "What's a pretty dish if there's nothing in it?" So we talked about speech, we talked about attitude, about dress, amusements. That's challenging as a Christian to know what kind of entertainment and amusements to engage yourself in. Trying to remember, I think it was a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, we decided to go to a high school football game there in our local school district in Maine, close to our house. We went one night, and we decided to go back again. And the second time we went back, now maybe you aren't all familiar with high school football, but you know there are cheerleaders that are jumping around, which can kind of be an eye trap. But at this game, there was some headbanging music that was very obnoxious that, to me, just sent a bad spirit in the whole place. And I was wishing that we would not have been there. We can get very involved with amusements. There's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself, but just consider, like my grandpa said, not a place I'd want to be when the Lord returns. You know, these activities can look fun. They can look attractive. But what would God have us to do? There was once a spider that built a beautiful web in an old house. Now this spider kept his web clean and he kept his web shiny so that flies would patronize it. And the minute he got a customer, he would clean it up so that other flies would not get suspicious that this was a bad place to hang out. Then one day, this fairly intelligent fly came buzzing by the clean spider web, and the old man spider called out, "Come in and sit." But the fairly intelligent fly said, "No, sir, I don't see any other flies in your house, and I'm not going in alone." But presently, he saw on the floor a large crowd of flies dancing around in a piece of brown paper, and he was delighted. This looked like a fun place to be. There was company here, so he came in for a landing. And just before he landed, a bee zoomed in, saying, "Don't land there, stupid, that's fly paper." But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back, "Don't be silly. Those flies are dancing. There's a big crowd there. Everybody's doing it. With all those flies, it can't be wrong." Well, you know what happened. He died on the spot. Just because everybody's doing it, just because it looks fun, does not mean that it's right for you. If it dishonors God, it's wrong for you. And you could end up being trapped like that fairly intelligent fly. You know, we can justify just about anything in our human, sometimes wicked, mind. You know, nonconformity is not enough. Real separation comes with a transformation, a miraculous change that brings a lasting result. Why do some lack a transformation? I think they lack a renewed mind. How do you renew your mind? You know, victorious living is a struggle between the old man and the new man. It's like a dog fight. If you feed one, it becomes strong. And if you starve the other, it becomes weak. You know, putting garbage into your body is like pumping McDonald's into your body all the time. You know, if I want my truck to run effectively, I'm not going to put dirty fuel in my truck. I'm going to try to run clean fuel. I might put some octane booster in every once in a while just to clean the engine up and maybe give it my old V8 just a little bit more power, although it still doesn't squeal the tires. So what should we do in our own lives to keep ourselves having to make ourselves have a transformed mind and a renewed mind? Hang out with Christians. Read the Bible. Pray to one God. You know what your weaknesses are. What are you doing about them? Are you indulging in those activities that you know are wrong, but it's just a weakness that you have and you just can't resist? How much wholesome activity is needed to renew one's mind? How much filth is needed to hold back a mind from being renewed? It doesn't take a whole lot of filth to mess up your mind. God gave you the healthy mind that you have. I think everyone here tonight has an intelligent mind, a good mind. How well are you caring for that? You know, renewing the mind is like going to an IMAX theater. 3D IMAX experiences. But you're sitting there and it doesn't look 3D to you. It's only 2D. And then someone reaches over and says, "Oh, your glasses aren't on." Are you utilizing the options that God makes available to renew your mind? You know, peer pressure can have a very significant effect on your life. And peer pressure can be a wonderful thing. If you have good friends, their peer pressure can motivate you to keep your mind free and clear of things that will hold you back from having a renewed mind. But peer pressure can also be a bad thing. A few years ago, a psychologist, Ruth W. Brenda, and her associates carried out an interesting experiment with teenagers designed to show how a person handled group pressure. The plan was simple. They brought a group of 10 teenagers into a room. Each group of 10 was instructed to raise their hands when the teacher pointed to the longest line of three separate lines that were drawn at the front of the room. Now, there was one in that room that was the victim. The other nine were told beforehand to raise their hands for the line that was not the longest. Once they were all together in the group, the nine that were not to vote for the longest line, but rather vote for the next to the longest line. Normally, the stooge, the one that was not informed, would look around, and look at the line, and look at everybody else that raised their hands for the line that wasn't the longest, and then they would put their hand up because everybody else was doing it. It was peer pressure. Time after time, the self-conscious stooge would sit there saying a short line is longer than a long line simply because he lacked the courage to challenge the group. This remarkable conformity occurred in about 75% of the cases and was true of small children and true of high school students as well. Some people would rather be wrong and join the in crowd and stand up for what is right. And if you find yourself in that situation, are you going to be able to have the courage to stand up for what is right? Or are you going to go along with something that you know is wrong and you know is not true? But just because you don't want to offend someone and because you don't want to be looked at as an oddball, you'll go along with something that is sinful. So tonight we looked at a yielded body, a living sacrifice. We looked at a separated life, nonconformity, not allowing things into our life to shape us into this world's mold. And then we looked at a renewed mind. You know, we can have a strong body with a wicked mind. We can have a weak body with a strong, renewed mind. Is a renewed mind a big deal? Does it really matter? How much filth can we let in there until our mind is totally warped? You know, and it's not so much the sin is bad enough, but then there's also these mind-altering drugs that are out there that perhaps you could feel an attraction to make you feel good. But those things all affect your minds. I've heard more than one person say, when they have difficulty remembering, maybe difficulty concentrating, I did too many drugs when I was young. Why would you want to even mess with something like that? I hope no one here tonight has ever indulged in something like that. I just want to put the warning out there that don't ever start if you haven't started. There's some of those things that are that nasty, for what I understand, that you take one hit of it and you're hooked. You're addicted. I was just told this week about a young man who overdosed. Family. Scary stuff. If we're serious about having a renewed mind, we'll stay away from that kind of thing. We need to have a transformation from the inside out. We can dress a person up. We can give them the right haircut. We can make them look good on the outside. But if they don't have a transformation from the inside out, it's not going to be God-honoring. It's not going to last. Tonight, I want you to seriously consider what your mind is like. Are you allowing things in there that shouldn't be in there? And if you are, what is the cause? Is it the movies that you're watching? Is it the music that you're listening to? Is it the internet sites that you pull up on your smartphone? You know, I'm almost grateful that I grew up when I did, when smartphones were not an option. And I didn't have that at my fingertips, that I could look at something that would have been an attraction to me, but was wrong. It takes a renewed mind to be able to withstand that temptation. You know your weakness. What are you doing about it? Are you indulging in the flesh? Or are you being serious about your relationship with God? Are you being serious about desiring to be a living sacrifice for a God that loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you? When we starve the weakness and focus on strengthening the mind, our mind will be renewed. That which is good, and that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect. That which is good. Things that please God. Things that God accepts. And that which He considers a perfect sacrifice. He desires you to be in submission to Him. He desires you to be willing to do whatever His will is for your life. And unless you are willing to be a living sacrifice, and you're willing to allow God to transform you from the inside out, you will never discern God's will and what He has for you, because you're not really desiring that. God will never lead you to do something that's not written in His Word. Study the Bible. Allow the Word of God to renew your mind so that you can effectively serve Him. A yielded body, a separated life, and a renewed mind. Tonight, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And this invitation is going out to all, but it's especially going out to youth that are here tonight. If you know in your heart that you're not willing to be a living sacrifice, that you're not willing to live a separated life, yeah, you might look pretty good on the outside, but inside, you are a spiritual and an emotional wreck because you don't have a renewed mind. You're letting filth penetrate and control your thoughts, your mind, and your emotion. You're not surrendered like God would have you, desire you to be. What hymn do we have to sing?
Number 47.
In the green book, number 47, the invitation is open for all. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, we invite you to stand and make your need known. And if you're here tonight and know that you need a closer walk with God, I invite you as well to stand and take a stand for God and make a commitment that, yes, I am willing to attempt to be a living sacrifice.